All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin, Leroy, and Beast. We are live from Las Vegas. Manny Pacquiao, Keith Thurman live on pay-per-view. Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock is when the main card starts. But you got yourself a hell of an undercard, too. It's going to be live on Fox. Caleb Plant, Mike Lee taking on one another. Should be a lot of fun there, talking mad bleep.
I like one of the things that boxing and all these, or especially ESPN and Fox,
right,
is, you know, fights start here at like 3 o'clock.
Yep.
And what they do is they put those on air. Normally, they have them on the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
If you want to watch the early fights. But now they're on regular TV, and they kind of lead you up to the main event or the main card. And I think that's cool because you get to watch some of the fights on the card.
Yeah, and of course you will now have something to follow all night because Robbie has bet the entire card.
I mean,
he's bet the entire card.
You guys owe it to this national treasure to go hit a window and lay that parlay.
Well, here's the other thing I need to do, right? Is first of all, hey, somebody texts in, both of y'all selfish for not taking this Robbie dude to Vegas. The stores be nonstop entertained.
They've tried.
Part of the problem is this. When we actually commit to this a year and a half in advance, and then it's confirmed 5 days before.
Also,
making it hard to get a ticket for Robbie and arrangements.
I also don't want to insinuate anything, but just, you know, sometimes there is a third traveler on the trip. It just is not Robbie.
But here, this is hilarious because I enjoy the text line. You know that, but I really enjoy it for the Mag 7 because Robbie has a little bit of everything. I was writing the Mag 7 down, threw my paper away as soon as he said week one.
How could you not? Right. Week one of the NFL?
Wait, there's more. Listen, is the Rough Riders DMX's team? Robbie's first law, action is action. That's, I remember, right, when he put a college game in the Magnificent Seven during May.
Unbelievable.
Right?
I still have plenty of college bets pending.
You have to make a list. Like, now's a good time because we're just about to get to August when we're like, you have to make a list of your pending actions.
Oh, yeah, I have it. I have a whole spreadsheet set up with all my pending actions.
He has a journal.
There's more. I haven't been texting because I'm busy recording this. Hold up. I can't spell Montreal's team name.
The Alouettes.
By the way, we've decided from this point forward, and I'm going to talk to the corporate on this, the Mag 7 has to be a thing. So every week we're going to post the Mag 7 as separate audio, so you'll be able to just go download the Mag 7, listen to it, and go gamble your brains out.
I love it.
If you can find that action, because I know somebody also asked, can you please give me a 13-team Ukrainian women's basketball parlay?
I was surprised he didn't have Zamunda in any of the Africa Cup stuff.
Robbie should start a Patreon of just his action. Like, just start having
That's
people
what
pay
should have, like,
just pay him for his advice.
I mean,
it's not a bad idea.
You should. Leroy.
You can do a
$5 a month subscription to get all of Robbie's picks.
Our old friend, the Hammer, Hank Goldberg, he lives out in Vegas. And he does that. He handicaps for services, like, for like $450. You can get all the Hammer's picks for like a month or something like that.
Right. Mossberger, he's out there.
Whatever. But he's being as weird as I am with the ladies. But Robbie, I think Robbie should have his own site, like RobbieTheDegenerate.com. You pay him like, you know, $500, and you get all his picks.
Let's get to headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Marlins and Dodgers do some business tonight in Dodger Stadium. It's not a real West Coast road trip because they go to Chicago right afterwards. Go figure. And you got the Astros already complaining about travel too in baseball. It's ridiculous. Marlins and Dodgers, Zach Gallen against Hyunjin Ryu, 10:10 Eastern, 7:10 Pacific time for you guys out there in the West Coast.
And,
God.
Yeah, it's you gonna get some action on that one, Tobin?
Maybe. We'll see.
That's going to be awesome to actually be out in the West Coast for a West Coast Marlins game. You can actually stay up and watch the whole
game. And you can get action.
It was cool yesterday.
Here's what sucked. Because I was thinking, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and do a little something with the Marlins, right?
Yep. Yeah.
The game started at like 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it was over.
It was over.
Shout out to the groundskeeper.
Yesterday we were running a Keith Thurman interview as the walk-off was happening. So immediately Macho Mons man calls me up and he's like, hey, can you come film me back at the hotel room? So we had to get that done from Vegas.
He's out there too or what?
Yeah, he's traveling out here. He loves
Nobody was more shocked than me.
I would get the
message, Macho Marlins man on the walk-off.
Wow.
So you
can get him out there, but you can't get Robbie.
The thing that makes me happiest about it yesterday was Harold Ramirez liking it.
Yeah, you let us know about that. Hey, let's get to the.
It's just my favorite thing in the world that these people have these things come into their DMs and like, what is this?
Right.
I believe you got Coop. I believe you got Caleb Whiff liking it. You got I think you got a Farrell like one of your posts before. You almost got the whole team already.
All right, let's get to the update.
This is why they're honoring him next Friday night at Throwback Night.
Just freaking.
It's gonna be awesome.
All right.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Let's get the golf updates. Brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Serving golfers around the country since 1968. Leroy, what do we have?
Well, we're pretty much done. You only have one group left for the day. You have J.B. Holmes and Shane Lowry leading the way at 8 under par. Tommy Fleetwood, Lee Westwood are at 7 under. Brooks Koepka, Jordan Spieth, Andrew Putnam are at 5 under. Other than that, Tiger, Phil missed the cut. Jason Day missed the cut. Rory missed the cut. John Rahm is at 4 under. Matt Kuchar is at 4 under. And Dustin Johnson's at 3 under.
So, Leroy, if you had to re-handicap at this point, who would you throw out there?
One of the things that scares me is J.B. Holmes hits the ball really far. He hits it far like Brooks Koepka and all these other guys. And so he can get away with a lot of holes and just not even hitting driver.
Right.
So that's one of the advantages they have. Tommy Fleetwood, Lee Westwood, Shane Lowry, these guys all play these conditions all year. So they have somewhat of an advantage because if the weather turns, they're accustomed to the rainy, you know, windy, just miserable conditions. And Brooks Koepka is just phenomenal. A little shocked to see Jordan Spieth up there, though, because he hasn't been playing that well. Justin Rose is another guy. So, I mean.
Where's your boy Rory?
Oh. Trunk slam.
Shocking.
I mean.
It's his home course, though.
I told you he cracked. I told you.
You know how
mentally made for
it's
this.
Not mentally. Oh my!
Not could
handle the pressure.
Hey, you know what? I'm not listening
to this from people who never golfed before.
By the way,
rocks.
You know, on Curtis's show, they have like the imaginary $100 bet on the Marlins every night on the money line.
Right.
Yeah, we should do a $100 bet on Rory not to be in the final grouping for every tournament.
Guys, I'm not a golf expert like Leroy is. He's going golfing today. I'm just curious. Is tied for 99th good? Just asking. You tell me.
Well, he's plus 6 technically.
The hell do you think?
Point four.
You don't get a point from that.
Yeah, no, we gave him a point.
Hey, and my bet is secure because Alex Noren is at 3 under.
So that's a win for you?
Yep, because Phil didn't make the cut.
I'll mark that down.
Wait, what an Uber pool between Phil and Tiger going back to the airport.
Now I'm getting ready to lose because –
yeah,
I mean,
I'm sure
just
they
based on the
Uber
conditions
back
of
to the airport.
Based on the conditions of this golf course, there ain't nobody shooting 64.
All right, we got some Tyreek Hill news. Nothing new. I'm just saying in the headlines.
Yeah, he will not be suspended by the NFL due to the lack of evidence in the quote unquote allegations.
All right.
We did it last hour.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you want to talk about the Astros railing against the MLB for their schedule? I mean, it's an epidemic now. They got in like at 5 in the morning from Los Angeles, and they were mad at them in Major League Baseball. It's a thing.
I'd tell the Astros to get over it.
You would tell them to kick rocks.
No, you want to know what I actually think is a problem. Like, can we play this? Do we have the Aaron Boone rant from yesterday?
Oh.
That's what I want to talk about in baseball.
Okay.
So this
Aaron Boone rant?
Yeah.
Aaron Boone went ballistic.
Really?
Ballistic.
Little?
Yep.
Aaron bleeping Boone?
Yep, little voice Aaron Boone went out there, and he roasted a rookie umpire. And this has been, you want to talk about epidemics, forget about schedule. These umpires have been taking a beating over the last week, because you've had Don Mattingly basically come out and say that he wants robots. Don Mattingly.
Mr. Baseball, a guy who
it's
hates.
It's crazy to me.
But think about it. Think about when you have guys you associate with keepers of the game are so fed up that they're willing to say, you know what, let's just put robots
just old,
out.
Yeah, just old school. Like Don Mattingly.
Right.
You know, he's no Brian McCann. Like he's not a crazy person. But still, like you think like old school beloved baseball player, you think Don Mattingly. Do you have this, Grant? Do you have Don Mattingly from yesterday or from 2 days ago after the Marlins lost to the Padres, and they were almost no hit, but the last at bat was Curtis Granderson. He took a high fastball that was clearly a ball. Umpire rings them up. Apparently they had some reservation at Prime 112. I don't know what they were getting to, but Don Mattingly was not pleased, and he wanted to replace him with robots.
Donnie, I know it's tough to answer questions like this, and you have to be careful with what you say. But how difficult is it to see Anderson's at bat and Grandy's at bat be taken away from them, essentially?
Yeah, that's, you know, it's one of those. Lead me to it, right? You know, you don't want to sound like you're making excuses. And, you know, really, honestly, obviously the stuff that's going on in the Atlantic League, those things are going to, it's going to happen. It almost has to happen. So it's moving. Hopefully the technology gets there quick.
Robots. He wants robots.
I mean, one of the things, like, I get torn between this, because one of the things I like about watching baseball is when a pitcher is so good, he can get that corner.
Right.
And sometimes he can squeeze a little bit more out of it, but it's close, and the umpire will give it to him because his command is so great. I think those pitchers should be rewarded. But then there's a fine line between that and them being so inconsistent that you want to throw your hands up, because it's not that.
Yeah, it's rough. So anyway, so yesterday in the Yankees game, Brett Gardner gets rung up. And this rookie umpire, he's getting yelled at by Brett Gardner from the dugout. And then all hell breaks loose, and Aaron Boone, he does what we like to say, takes a piece of him. Not the best audio, but it was like,
not the best audio, but you get the gist.
He goes, "We're effing savages. We're effing savages. You're taking away. You're calling a horse bleep game. I honestly feel bleeping bad for you." And, I mean, honestly, if I was that umpire, I might want to go home and cry, because it was very rude.
Question: was it bad?
Yeah, it was bad.
Okay, like again,
and it's one of those things where it's like the last thing umpires can that managers can really get freaked out on is balls and strikes, which is an automatic toss from the game,
right?
But everything else is replayed these days.
Here's how. Let's get.
I have
this
a theory on why
player,
this is happening.
A player's perspective.
Go ahead.
Okay. If I play poorly on the football field,
yep,
or make a mistake, or God forbid, fumble, right, and I get booed and cursed at and whatever, right, I kind of have to eat it, right. Any player that gets yelled at or whatever, we kind of have to eat it. So, from a player's perspective, if you suck at your job and somebody says something about it, either be better or shut up.
Well, we had this too with the NFC Championship, did we not?
Sure.
Such a blown call, and
right,
nobody answered
it's
for it.
Unacceptable. Like I can't believe how I had to be accountable my whole life, and all these other jobs or places of employment, you don't have to be. These officials get paid money to do a job. When you suck at that job, if somebody says something, eat it or be better. End of discussion. It's basketball, it's baseball, it's football. It's whatever. And they never have to stand up and take the heat for being pathetic at their job.
Yeah, guys,
for
it was funny.
Sucking at their job.
It was funny the other day against the Mets. It was, I believe, Saturday. Hollinsworth and Minervini were arguing, railing against the idea of robot umpires. And then all of a sudden, the last pitch of the game to end the game was a pitch way inside to Alfaro that was called a strike and ended the game. And I think this is maybe a plant by the Russians to plant these umpires out there that are so bad that they have that everyone's now calling for the robot umpires, kind of like the face app, so that they could spy on the baseball games.
Why would Russia want to spy on baseball
heartfelt, enthusiastic conversation where I just put it all out there, put my heart and soul into this argument, and then Robbie went with Russian spying on us.
Well, they're planting these bogus umpires so that everybody demands for the robots.
Robbie, you know what?
They've had the same umpires for 30 years.
You know what? I'm buying
it. Joe West is still out there calling balls
and strikes. I mean, this goes back to the KGB years. I mean, them getting involved in Major League Baseball.
Because Country Joe West has basically been around since USSR. You think basically he has been playing like the Americans.
Well, Putin used to run the KGB, so that would make perfect sense.
Yeah, great.
He recruited Joe West just for this moment.
So let me get this straight.
Angel Hernandez.
Angel Hernandez and Joe West.
Yep.
This ragtag group, they've just all been terrible at their job all this way, so we get to Russian spies with robots.
Yes.
And
yes.
For them to have the knowledge of baseball, are they planning an attack at baseball stadiums? What is happening? Why?
Intel is intel.
No, what it is they're going to have the umpires they're gonna hack into the umpires, which will be robots, and the Russians will be all those oligarchs will be placing bets. And,
are they doing this
a bunch of cash?
Are they trying to make like a baseball team full of Dragos, and then they can come and beat America and take Major League Baseball?
You never know. You never know how it's gonna work.
Yo, lost me at Russian. Like, why would they care about a sport? They don't even have any players.
Bro, they care about everything.
Intel is intel.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Intel is intel.
Who are you going to get intel from? Because ain't nobody going to the games.
So just imagine this, Leroy. Imagine this.
I'm a grown-ass man that has logical thoughts.
Brought to you by actionlawfirm.com, 67974. Robbie's onto something with these Russian umps. See?
Imagine this. There's a Russian Robbie somewhere. Maybe Robbie's Russian. He's just dropping the hints right now.
Whoa.
Because if there's a Russian who's saying intel's intel, it's basically saying science is science or action is action. So they're going by the Robbie Creed. It's not that crazy. It's not that crazy.
No, it's not.
Oh, by the way, somebody said little Aaron Boone is 6'2".
Yeah, but he's got a little voice.
Is this a coincidence right after this face app comes out that the Russians are now everyone's 50 years old? Isn't this a bizarre coincidence that these bad calls are happening right when the face app gets released?
I don't think so. I think you're onto something.
I think this theory can go to hell. We're back after this. Everybody, Tobin, Leroy, Beast. We are live in Las Vegas for Manny Pacquiao, Keith Thurman tomorrow night at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. Just got our tickets for the event. Very excited. Today is the weigh-in. Going to that right after the fight, right after the show today. The coach, Tony Fiorentino, is going to join us next hour. Always love talking to the coach. I'm going to see what he thinks about Bam Adebayo getting all that love from Udonis Haslem. Oh, yeah. Loved it. Love the Udonis Haslem love. It was cut from the same cloth. I love it.
Really?
I love it.
Uh-oh.
Swooning, got all dusty, misty-eyed, stung.
Bam's a little more athletic than UD.
Minus one.
It's not a knock on UD.
You don't have to say what's already known, though.
Okay, but then stop making it sound like they're the same.
Because you say it with an intent.
I say it with some reality to it. Look. I'm not saying Bam is not learning a lot from UD. Right? But to make it sound like UD and Bam are the same? Come on, man.
Oh, Jesus.
Minus one.
Wait. Why does that have anything to do with... that's not blasphemous against UD. Why do you guys get all up in your feelings when I say Bam is a lot more athletic than UD?
Minus one.
You ever see somebody at the office who's wearing...
No.
You ever see somebody at the office who's, like, wearing something that's clearly ridiculous, but they're happy to wear it?
I do a show with you.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about? I like, you know, like my crane shirt?
Okay, we had two seats.
The whale outfit?
Wait, no, no. We had two seats coming to Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
Some kind of way Macho Marlins man got here.
I don't know what to tell you.
And you asking me? You know how you go to work and you have somebody that you work with wearing some ridiculous stuff?
Yeah, but I was trying to make it the point where it was like, you know, like they're clearly wearing something they're happy with, and maybe it's a little bit out there. Why not just let them be happy instead of pointing out that what they're wearing is ridiculous?
Because that's not the same situation.
It's not?
No, it's not. It's not. It's not.
Did a Macho Marlin man have a hard time getting through security?
No, not at all. He's very personable. He's very personable. Now, Manny Diaz, he was at the ACC kickoff.
Oh, boy.
Feeling froggy. I like this.
Oh, no.
That's what he has to say. Quote, "We're not where we were when we limped off the field in New York last December. We're not that team. What team are we? I'm not really sure yet. We're going to get an idea of that next Friday when we get back together. This is UM, man. I mean, this is a high-standard place. We got to win. And that's really what we did defensively in 2016. We said, I don't know how good we're going to be on defense, but we're going to have ridiculously high standards. I felt like in the past we were a team that on a different day would play at different levels. So we're going to try and create a competition. All these guys on a roster may not be up for it. And if you don't ever turn up the heat, you really don't find out who's in and who's not in. This offseason has been about trying to find out who's all in and who's going along for the ride to keep the latter group out of dependable situations."
I mean, that's not – see, a lot of you take a lot of this as talking trash.
I didn't say talking trash. I said feeling froggy.
Yeah, that wasn't that much talking trash.
It's not a matter of even feeling froggy. I mean, look, if they are going to win, right, from what we know of this team as of this moment, it's going to be on the defensive side of the ball because we don't really know what they are offensively. And so for him to say that we have to have that same mentality to where these guys are going to make or break this team,
right,
I think that's fine. Because they have proven that if that team or that side of the ball is dominant, that they can win football games. That's all he's saying. And I think it comes from a place because he's familiar with that side of the ball. And to be honest with you, does anybody know what the offense is going to be like? You can say what you want. You can say, oh, they're going to do this different and that different and this different. But do you honestly know, without knowing truly who the quarterback is, what kind of offense you're going to have and how good they're going to be?
I don't even know who the quarterback's going to be.
Right.
I don't even know.
Right.
So, and he was asked
can
about
they
that.
Block?
He, he was asked on the possibility of one of the three quarterbacks who doesn't get the starting job transferring between Perry, Martell, and Jaren Williams. He goes, yeah, it could absolutely happen. You saw last year with Clemson when they went to Trevor Lawrence and Kelly Bryant left midway through the season. That is the new normal. But if you don't want to be at the University of Miami, go somewhere else. This is UM. This is Miami. We don't beg anyone to be a Miami Hurricane. And that's in recruiting,
but you
and that's
do.
Anything else.
You kind of do when you recruit.
What?
That's begging somebody. That's begging somebody to come to your school.
Yeah, but I think that
You're not in a place right now, and this is not a knock on Miami. This is not.
Oh, here we go with the pinky toe.
No, you're not in a place right now where kids are saying, "Ooh, I hope Miami calls me." Right? You're just not there.
I don't know about that, man.
I'm talking about the kids that are five-star talent.
Yeah.
That could go anywhere. You think they're sitting down waiting for Miami to give them a call?
I think there are some, yes.
Get out of here. How many
I'm not going to get out of here.
You got? How many five-star recruits you got?
I don't know.
Leroy, you're railing at the five-star recruits, but you think these recruiting system is stupid with all the stars.
But you're missing my point.
Well, they also did. I mean,
you're missing my point.
Not doing recruiting, like they kind of did that with Martell, did they not?
Right.
Like they got him in the transfer portal for a reason.
Come on, man. All I'm doing is keeping it real.
No.
You're
doing a little more than keeping it real.
Really? How? Tell me how I'm not.
Also, weren't there a lot of talks that they basically begged Jaren Williams to stay?
Don't pay attention to that, Tobin. Don't pay attention to it. Let's not keep it real. Let's just make up this imaginary.
I don't think it's me making anything up that there are good kids that want to go to the University of Miami.
I didn't say that. But
That there could be a five-star kid sitting at home that wants to go to the U. You kind of did rule that. You kind of did say that.
Hold on. I'm a five-star recruit in today's day and age.
Right.
Right? I can go to any school I want to. Right? Who are you waiting for the phone call from?
Alabama, Clemson.
Yes.
Georgia. Yeah, but guess what?
That is not a knock on Miami. That's the reality of the situation
you're in. Some kid that grew up down here that really wants to come.
So I don't know what the hell you think I'm talking about. That's reality. That's where you are. You haven't won enough to say you can go and just get any kid to come.
That's not what you said. I'm not saying that Miami can go get any kid. I'm saying that there are kids out there that want to go to Miami.
I said you think a five-star recruit that could go anywhere in the country is waiting for a phone call from Miami.
You're telling me some kid that's from Carroll City isn't a kid that's waiting for a call from Miami?
Local. We said that. I'm sure there are local kids that want to go. But to this point, though, I don't know how much you do want to beg people to stick around. Like, we kind of saw that situation when you had, all those kids from Miami Northwestern come here, and they walked in like their bleep didn't stink, and they thought they were going to be the next savior class of Miami, and they weren't.
Right.
They weren't, and they felt like they were owed something or promised something.
Sure.
And to that point, if you're Manny Diaz, once they're here, they're here. Like, I don't think if you go to a school like Alabama, I'm sure Nick Saban's really you want to go somewhere else? Fine, I guess. But even Nick Saban's in a different kind of vein, because he's he hates transferring. He thinks transferring is for the weak, which, is another discussion for another day, because, he makes gazillions of dollars at controlling kids who want to come to his NFL factory. If it doesn't seem to work out for him, he wants to, control where they go. But football is at a different place, because it does feel like there's more of a free agent feel, which I like. I like the fact that these kids can go somewhere and be in a place where it feels like they're going to be more prone to having success.
I'll take Brevin Jordan. Now, he was a four-star, but he was also rated as the second-best tight end in the country when he came out, right?
They do have Don Chaney Jr., five-star. According to 247 Sports, he's a four-star.
But let's go to Brevin Jordan. He's from Las Vegas. His choices were Miami, Alabama, Auburn, you name it. He was in it. He wanted to go to Miami. He committed to Miami. He went to Miami.
We don't know about his playing time, but I'm just saying, if they're out there, yeah.
Here's the problem, and it happens with all Hurricane fans. If you don't understand my point, because you're defending the U,
I'm
then
not
that's
defending
fine.
The U.
Hold on. Everybody understood what my larger point was, except you, got all defensive.
But here's the question, Beast. It's great that Brevin wanted to go here. Let's say we got into a scenario this year where who's that stud kid everybody was drooling over at the Paradise Camp? The one who was
Tyler Van Dyke, the quarterback?
Yeah, yeah.
Not the quarterback. There was some super tight end that everybody was oh, my God, I hope he comes to the U and joins the next line of tight ends. Let's say he was coming into school this summer. I know he's not. I think he's a couple years away. But let's say he was. And he was in a point where people looked like he was so ready, he may take reps away from Brevin Jordan. Are you really in a position to not have Brevin Jordan stay at school with the amount of offensive weapons you feel like are elite? Because I would say, no, you're not. You kind of need Brevin Jordan also. You're not at this point where there's another one right behind him and you're going to be fine. He's probably your best guy. You know what I mean? We're not at that level where just be right behind Frank Gore is Willis McGahee, and right behind Willis McGahee is Clinton Portis. You're not there anymore.
I agree with you.
And by the way, for all you clowns that think, I'm saying that because I went to Michigan, I actually said the same thing about Michigan when I was in Ohio, That if you want to get the big-time players to come to your school, You need to win more consistently.
By the way, I think
this is not exclusive to Miami.
I think
in case you're wondering.
I think it's Darnell Washington's the tight end, the five star out of.
Okay, you're bragging about one five star.
No, he hasn't committed yet. He just was at Paradise Camp. Relax.
They don't even have him yet. But I'm just I'm so sick of hearing this crap.
What crap is it that you're hearing?
Really?
What crap are you hearing? Like, tell me, what are the streets saying to you?
I'm not talking about the streets. I'm telling you what I was trying to explain.
What are you hearing?
To you, and all of the defensiveness you got into.
No, because
based on what I.
Because you go over the top, man.
How did I go over the top? I
said, because you literally said there's not one 5-star recruit that's sitting at home waiting for a call from Miami.
So okay, so I exaggerate a little bit, but do you
Thank
know
you.
What my point was?
We're fine.
Do you
now.
Know what my point was?
Yes.
Oh, you might have had one. So I guess I should back off from that, right?
I mean, listen, let me ask you a question. And Amari Cooper,
I think it was the great Drake who once said, and this may apply to you, Leroy got you in your feelings.
Yes.
I thought Al Golden said that.
Pretty much.
I thought Joseph Yackey said it.
It's unbelievable. You guys think, hey, the things that I'm saying about Miami, I've said the same thing about Michigan. That until you win consistently, you're not going to get the big name recruits that Ohio State is getting because they're winning consistently. I've said the same thing about them. So it's not exclusive to here. I just happen to be in Miami.
There was some interesting things that came out yesterday in regards to the Canes QB race. We'll get to that next. Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin, Leroy, and Beast.
Somebody said Leroy needs a nap. And who you calling a clown, small hands fumbles?
People are mad at you when you get on the Canes.
Leroy is mad nobody wants to go to Michigan. No, I've said the same thing about Michigan. It's not – why does everybody think that my comments are only about Miami?
Well, I mean, they were just about Miami.
Yeah,
but they were, but I have –
You had to thunder in with down off the
– We were talking about Miami, though.
I understand.
Right?
I understand.
And the coach saying we're not going to beg people to come here. I said, isn't that where recruiting is?
Yeah. Well, I think he was saying we're not going to beg people to be a Miami Hurricane. Like, you're not going to beg them to stay. That was where the question was relied because he was talking about the quarterbacks.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, that's a tough situation because once you make that – like, to be honest, once you make that decision of who your starter is going to be, you kind of really don't care.
Well, I saw Lazen tweet out a quote from Joe Klatt, who is the Fox's top.
Yeah, he's their top.
Analyst.
He's their Herb Street.
He said, "I don't know if Tay Martell has the throwing acumen to be a successful quarterback in college."
Tay Martell?
Yeah.
Well, that's been rumored that he is. I'm gonna be careful when I say this, right? He is what everybody assumed of black quarterbacks back in the day. So, what was that? That great athlete, can't throw, makes plays with his legs.
Right.
Don't know if he can sit in the pocket and read the defense. That's some of the questions that have been brought up by him. And in fact, a lot of people at Ohio State.
I was at the practice at Trez Powell, and when he tried to run plays under center, it was rough to watch. It was
okay,
really bad.
Yeah, but I think they're taking him away from that.
Okay, but here.
Also, it's spring.
Thank you. It's spring. Like, you want him to be – Robbie, you expect him to be ready to play Florida in the spring ball?
Well, no, but like he's limited. What Dan Enos wants to do, he wants a lot of run a lot of under center packages, and if he can't
Where's
do that.
Dan?
All right. I just think Dan Enos may not have the personnel to do what he wants to do. He may have to limit his playbook for Tay Martell and only run out of the shotgun.
It is part of the reason, though. That
if they can't protect him.
It's not gonna
if
matter.
They can't protect the quarterback, he's going to be the best option.
No, I mean, that's part of the reason I do like having somebody like Dan Enos here for snubbing Nick Saban is that guy does know what top quarterback play is going to look like. I mean, not only that, you know, he played it, and he's not the coach's son,
but the fact that
he was at Alabama and basically was looking at a guy that everybody in the NFL would tank for at quarterback, like, the guy knows what the level is going to be and what it does take and how far somebody should be to be a good college starting quarterback.
I will say this doesn't take a lot to imagine, but the people on the streets tell me that the quarterback room leadership with Dan Enos as opposed to Mark Richt's son is a 180 as it relates to actually teaching and coaching quarterbacks.
Okay, but the other thing is that a lot of these kids have gotten a year older. They've put different demands on them as far as what is expected of them, and they've had an opportunity to grow. I mean, like, Like, I have a hard time going in and telling the 18 and 19-year-old kid that he sucks because he can't do something that grown men can't do. And so I'm always going to, you know, err on the side of caution and think, okay, maybe he can't do it when he's 18, but maybe when he's 19 or 20, and it sometimes takes a little bit longer. He's not all of a sudden, okay, you're in college now, you're just supposed to be grown. Some kids can do it. Some kids have that, you know, ability to pick up things quick. Some kids, it takes a little more time.
It was also just such a weird feeling the last couple of years because, you know, I found it weird that, like, in the stories when Malik Rozier was, or Rozier, whatever the hell it was succeeding, that they were like, yeah, Mark Richt didn't even want this guy as quarterback. In fact, he said, you'll never be my quarterback. And it was in this position where, like, okay, so is he rooting for these young guys to uproot him at that point? Like, what is the feeling in the quarterback room? And it probably does have to feel different now where it doesn't feel like those biases are there.
I'll tell you what the difference is. The difference is they probably went into that room and said, look, I don't know any of you, right? This is what is expected of you. If you do it, you have a chance to play. If you don't, there's no chance of playing. So you do with it what you want. And I think after what they went through last year, I think a lot of them are like, yeah, man, I'm gonna try to get in line and put my work in and do my prep and try to be the quarterback of the University of Miami. And so that's probably what you're seeing. And also, they're 1 year more mature. I can't explain to you, like, man, to sit here and say, you know, of an 18-year-old, he should be this or he should be that or why can't he pick this up? Man, what were you doing when you were 18?
Yeah, well, like, gambling. That's the thing with that's the thing with Perry last year when all the Nikosi Perry stuff was going down. I found funny because all these people were going and saying, like, well, just take his Instagram away. And it's like, well, this isn't 2001. There was no Instagram back then. We weren't being able to see.
Can you imagine Romberg back in 2001 with social media?
Yeah, it would just be nunshot hog shots going on social media. It would be ridiculous. Like, you imagine all of the you don't remember the Nevin Shapiro stuff? It all ended up like on one Facebook post.
Yeah,
it was all like this took down the program. Imagine those parties getting up on Instagram Live back in the day.
Oh, there's no way Snapchat. I would have made it through college if social media and everything was the way it is. No chance. And I think, and I'm not going out on a limb and saying that there's a bunch of guys that you just, and it wasn't like I was doing anything wrong. It's just that I know I probably would have did something stupid that would have got out there that, you know, because I was a kid. And keep in mind, I went from having a job as a high schooler, playing football, playing baseball, running track, and then having to go work to help pay bills,
right,
to going to be free and everything was taken care of. So my first year or two, I got a little wild.
Yeah, well, it's one of these things, too, where, like, normally these programs will try and silence these kids and they don't give them access to anybody. Like, Beast is familiar with this. Like, if anybody has any kind of anything around them, they're like, not available. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
Right.
But now they all have Twitter accounts. They all have Instagram accounts and can subtly or not so subtly put out whatever they want to squash whatever controversy or whatever. And that way, that some of that stuff is good, but I don't know how much coaches like it.
Right.
Well, I don't know.
It's not. Because the one thing I'll say about coaches is coaches like order. Right? Coaches like to feel confident in who they're putting on the field and what they can do.
They like
that's
control.
Rule number one. But sometimes in order to have – you have a bunch of guys you need on the same page. And sometimes control is the only way you can do that. You have to have one message, one voice to get – you got 130 kids in the locker room during the week? All right, how else are you going to do that? You need order. And so when there's order, when there's – you know, when you get to a situation in a game, all right, you need to be comfortable that once you say something, you know everybody knows what to do. If you have one guy that doesn't know what to do and he's important to what needs to happen, it's hard to put him out there.
Leroy, you got to see – I'm sure you have the British Open on somewhere.
This shot that this guy hit, and he just had a fistful of grass on his club afterwards.
He was in the major rough, and like did he take a divot out? Except the divot stayed on his club. It was unbelievable.
That grass looks nasty.
I mean,
it is.
Yeah.
It is, and the thing there is, it gets wet,
right,
and moist and thick and lush. So yeah.
You talking about a golf course or?
Yeah.
Always gotta make it weird, man.
Yep, there you go.
Adrian actually looked at me and started laughing.
So
Texter writes in.
Oh, yeah, that's there you go.
Texter writes in 67974, brought to you by AccentLawFirm.com. Imagine the 7th Floor crew on IG Live.
Oh, wow.
You know what's amazing? Somebody G-Rex. Said, Leroy is for Cleveland, not anything that has to do with Miami. There you go.
I agree.
And you guys.
I actually did wear my
nonsense.
Cleroy shirt this morning. I was wearing it around the house.
You guys feed into this nonsense.
What?
I'm not from Cleveland, man.
Okay, you're
beloved there, though.
Listen, you're from you're from New Orleans. Yeah. But when people think of Leroy Horde, they think of the mistake by the lake.
Yeah,
of course.
You're hobnobbing with the Browns GM this offseason.
And guess what? And I wear it. I am not embarrassed like you clowns are down here. I'm also willing to. I'm also willing.
How did we get hosed down?
South Florida?
Are you going to let me finish?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm also willing to call it what it is. When Cleveland sucked, even though I said I was a fan, I called it as I saw it. They suck.
Very
when Michigan hasn't been very good and hasn't had a quarterback, guess what? I've said it. But you guys down here are so naive as to what the situation is for Miami. It makes me sick. You can't be honest about what your school is.
I've been very honest. I said 60 to nothing.
You said 3-9.
You're almost in.
But you don't count.
You're the wrong
representation. You don't count. Because you're like, wah, wah.
Just when did wah become truth?
Truth.
We'll be back with that with hashtag third hour after this.